and a crown that we will in turn lay at the feet of Jesus for what he's done for us on the cross. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, choir. Again, thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming to church. Let me ask you, why do you do that? Why do you come to church? Anybody ever ask you that question? What's the purpose of church? Why, Sunday after Sunday, do we gather here at church? Why do we make our way down this little narrow neighborhood road, right? Why do you force yourself through the confusion that is the five-way stop just north of here, right? If you come from that direction, you know, why do you do that? Why do you come to this place? Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you do, because the truth is, just by doing what you're doing today, just by being here, you are breaking all kinds of cultural norms. You're breaking all kinds of trends, because you see, the culture is not going to church. They're just not. Unfortunately, here in the United States, year after year, fewer and fewer people darken the doors of any local church. The latest research suggests that while around 40% of our country's population claims to go to church, only about 20% of our population can be found in any church on any given Sunday. 20%. That means on a typical Sunday, about half the people who at least claim to be church-going people, okay? About half the people who are convicted enough about their faith to claim to go to church, only about half of those people actually make it a priority. Tom Rainer says that that's really the cause of most of the decline that we see in church attendance nationwide. It's not that people just stopped going to church altogether. It's just that people stopped going all that much. Instead of once a week, right, people go every other week, you know, once a month, a few times a year. And the question we have to ask is, why is that? I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, especially if you're here today, man. I'm just glad you're here, right? But why do we see that trend? I'm sure there are a lot of reasons. Some people say that the sports have a lot to do with it, and that's probably true. People travel on the weekend to go to, you know, ball games, NFL games, college football games. It's football season, right? Thanks to travel ball, I have three kids that play sports, so I get this. But thanks to that, a lot of families find themselves in all kinds of different places every weekend all year just to get their kids to where they need to be. I'm a little bit tied to the running community and cycling communities, and a lot of those events, those races, events take place on Sunday. So sports has something to do with it, but of course, we also know that more businesses are open on Sundays, right? Not Chick-fil-A, but, you know, a lot of other businesses are open on Sundays. More businesses than there used to be. So, of course, more people have to work on Sundays. What it amounts to is that things change. Cultures change. And in our culture, church has just sort of taken a back seat to a lot of other things. People don't go to church just to go to church anymore. They have to have a reason. They have to have a purpose. Something has to drive them to get here. And so again, let me ask you that question. What's your reason? Why do you come to church? I want you to figure that out, because here's the thing. If you don't, if you don't figure out why you come to church, there's going to be a day when you won't. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a day, some Sunday, when you'll sleep in, right? When you'll come up with some reason, some excuse not to go to church. It might even be a good excuse at first, but before you know it, one excuse will turn into two, and then three, and then nine, right? And then before you know it, you'll be weeks, maybe even months away from church. And I don't want that for you. Not for any legalistic reason, right? I don't want that for you, because you see, we need you here. We need you here. Okay, so I want to say that because so often we think of going to church as something that we do for our benefit. Right? Our personal spiritual growth. And that's part of it. I definitely hope you experience some personal spiritual growth while you're here, right? But ultimately, church is not primarily about what you get out of it. Did you know that? Church is also about what you bring to the table. And so, brother, sister, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know this. You bring something to this table. And what you bring is community. And listen, what we need, okay? If our world needs anything right now, more than anything, what we need in our world is community. If you've been around here very long, that's not news to you, right? We talk about this. I talk about this all the time. As much as social media has brought the world together, right, in many ways, it's also driven us apart. Right? Instead of looking up into one another's eyes, now we're all looking down at our phones, right? We're doing that. Or our tablets or whatever social media app is popular now. Pretty much ignoring the people close to us right in the very room with us, right? Now, before you write me off as just a grumpy old bald preacher, right? Out of touch with contemporary trends, okay? Let me offer just some research, right? Studies have shown that social media consumption is addictive, right? It triggers more sadness and less well-being because, I mean, comparing ourselves with other people, right? That's not mentally healthy, right? Social media can lead to jealousy, but then also in a vicious cycle, it can also convince us that the only way to be happy is to keep checking social media, right? So it does this. The article that gave me all this information concluded that, this is what it said, more friends on social media does not mean that you're more social. The two are not one and the same. And again, I don't hate social media, okay? I use it a lot. We use it a lot as a church to get important things out there. Some of you right now are watching this service on social media, okay? And I'm so thankful for the team that we have back there helping, you know, make that happen and the people that do that week after week. Social media is a great tool, okay? But just because we have that tool doesn't mean that we have better community. We don't, okay? That's why we need, our culture needs the church. And that's why we must make it a priority, not just to go to church, we need to make it a priority to invite others to church. Speaking of which, how are you doing with that? Are you inviting, right? I hope that we're going to see a big jump in invitations this week. Encourage you, if you haven't already, get out to the gathering area. Let us know how many awesome people that you've invited to church this week. We just have one more week that we're doing this challenge together. Of course, we want you to keep inviting people to church even after this challenge finishes. A few weeks ago, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I encouraged us all together to invite 1,000 people to church on Friend and Family Day. Next week is Friend and Family Day. Last I checked, I think right before I came here, there were around 420 invitations. So, you know, we're not quite halfway there. But listen, I still believe it's attainable, okay? All it takes is for all of us to get involved and to make this happen. So again, I'll ask you, are you inviting? Again, we're not just inviting people to an institution when we invite them to church. We're not just inviting them to a club. And we're not just inviting them to get a sticker, all right? That's not why we're doing this. We invite the people that we love. When we invite the people that we care about, the people that God brings into our lives, when we invite them to church, we're inviting them to blessing, to life, to rest, to community, and ultimately, we're inviting them to forgiveness. And that's what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. And this week, we're going to think together about the community that we're inviting our friends and our family members to. And to do that, we're going to look together at this passage that Brother Tommy read for us earlier, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it's just two verses. Okay, but packed into these verses are important principles that will help us understand why we're here today, why we make it a priority to gather here week after week, and why it's so important that we invite people to join us here, all right? So if you have your Bible, go ahead and get that back in front of you so you can just follow along as we look at this passage together in detail. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Don't you ever look at the wrong heading on your Bible. All right, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you that your word opens our hearts and our minds to truth. And Lord, sometimes we can get into such a mindset of cultural consumerism. Sometimes we can let this overwhelm us. But Lord, we know that that's not what you want for us. You want us, Lord, to be in this community, this great community known as the local church. So shape our minds and hearts today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what does this passage tell us? First, one thing that's really obvious here is that when you invite someone into the community of the church, you're inviting them to show up, right? You're invite them to show up. That's sort of that's our first principle this morning, and that's sort of the central idea of this passage. In verse 25, the author of Hebrews reminds these original Jewish followers of Jesus, right? That's who Hebrews was written to. It was written to Jewish people who have come to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. But what's happening, the author of Hebrews is reminding them that they need to make gathering together a priority. He's encouraging them to hold fast to the truth of the gospel. He's encouraged them to make the gospel a priority, but he's encouraged them to do that together as a community. And listen, it's really hard to have community without face-to-face communication. Again, digital communication helps. It's great to hear a friend's voice on the phone, or even talk back and forth with them face-to-face over an app, right? It's crazy that we can do that today, right? Technology is awesome that way. But that kind of communication can't be the foundation of our interaction. Those are great tools to help us to stay in touch with one another. They're great tools to help us to continue conversations with one another, sort of keep one foot in the door of a relationship. But if you really want to create community, you have to show up. That's true for any organization out there, but it's especially true for the church. Did you know that the Greek word for church, ekklesia, did you know that that word literally means gathering? That's what the church is. It's a gathering. We gather together for the purpose of worship, for the purpose of Bible study, for the purpose of prayer. We gather together to develop a strategy for evangelism and mission work. That's the whole thing. That's what we're doing here. We gather together. That's why the early church made showing up a priority. Because, friends, you can't afford not to be here, and we can't afford for you not to be here. You see, church isn't a building. The church is the people. You are the church. But you're only the church when you choose to gather together week after week, when we choose to do that. We can't afford not to be there. Now, listen, I know I'm not saying your salvation does not depend on how often you go to church, okay? But somebody else's salvation might. What about your kids, those of you who are parents? Look, I worked with children. I worked with students for a number of years before I became a senior pastor. In the eyes of kids, look, if you don't take church seriously, you don't take God seriously. And if you don't take God seriously, why should they take God seriously? What about that student, or what about the young people at church that you're just trying, they're just trying to figure out whether or not Christianity is for them? What kind of message do you think we send to them if we're not consistent in church? We don't come to church just for our own benefit. We come to church for the benefit of the people around us. Again, we're not being legalistic here. Things come up. I get that, okay? I understand that. But if you're not here, how can you contribute to the kind of community that only the church can offer? You know that, right? Only the church can offer the kind of community that, when it's properly practiced, has no expiration date. Other types of community will meet together. They'll gather together for a while, but eventually, when those common interests dissolve, they'll stop meeting. It's not that way in the church. Our common interest is eternal. Jesus isn't going anywhere. Our faith in Jesus, because Jesus has saved us, will last forever. And so the community of the church, that's the only community that doesn't have an expiration date. Only the church can offer the kind of community that will satisfy, really satisfy, the desire that even the most introverted among us has for community. But to find that, you have to show up. So invite them. Invite them to show up. But don't invite them to just show up, okay? Invite them also, when they show up, to be involved. Invite them to be involved. What we have here in these two verses is a picture of involvement. Stimulating, the author of Hebrews says, one another to love and good deeds. Look, stimulating one another to love and good deeds takes being involved. If you've heard me harp on this once, you've heard me 100 times, you know by now, again, we live in a consumer culture. And so often that consumer culture bleeds over into the attitudes that we have about church. We think of going to church kind of like we think of going to a movie. We go to a movie to get something out of it, right? To consume a plot line, to consume a soundtrack, to consume an experience that we have when we go to that movie. And sometimes we take that consumer-driven idea and we apply it to the church. So church becomes what I get out of it, right? Was the music good? Yeah, the music was good today, right? But that's what we asked. Was the music good? Was the preaching good? You know. Did I get something out of being there? Great. If so, I'll be back. Right? That's how we think of it. And listen, we want you to be excited about what God's doing here. We want you to be excited about coming to church. We want you to get something out of it. We work hard to do our services so that you can become closer to Jesus when you're here, right? But more than any of those things, what we really want is for you to get involved. That's really the whole idea of this passage. We don't come to church to consume. We don't come to church really to benefit each other or ourselves at all. We come to church to benefit others. And to benefit others, it's not enough for you just to sit there and consume. If you're really going to benefit, if you're really going to experience community, you have to dig in. You have to get involved. Now, the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be involved? Very simply, it means to serve. It means to invest in this gathering that we call the church, right? Investing, I mean, that's the opposite of consuming, right? But when I say invest, okay, I'm not just talking about investing financially in the church, although that's certainly part of it. I'm also talking about investing your time, investing your skill set, invest your giftedness. If you look around, you can see all kinds of ways that you can serve in the local church. Gideon Ministry, that's one. When you part this morning, maybe one of our parking ministry volunteers out there greeted you out there in the parking lot. When you came in, you had someone greet you, welcome you to EBC. When you came into this room in the sanctuary, maybe an usher helped you with that, all right? We have a choir. I mean, do we have a choir, right? And we have a praise team. They've been leading us in worship this morning. Those are all ways that you can get involved, but there's so many more ways to get involved besides just being up front in front of people. I get it. Most people don't like doing that. Most people don't like being up in front of people. Most people are more comfortable serving quietly in the background. And there are so many different ways for you to do that at our church. You are what makes you you. Okay? Your passions, your perspective, your abilities, your experiences, your gifts, those are things that make you who you are. And when you get involved, when you come to Sunday school, and participate in the discussion, when you come to Bible study groups, when you volunteer in the nursery, right? When you volunteer in E-Kids on Wednesdays with our children, or RAs and GAs on Sunday nights, or Children's Church that's meeting right now, or when you work with our students on Wednesday nights, or when you get involved throughout the year with different projects, different activities that we do, different mission trips, what you're doing is you're bringing all of those things that make you to this table that we call community. And the beautiful thing about that is that God takes all of those things, all those experiences and gifts and passions that you bring to the table, even the bad experiences, and God uses those to encourage the people around you. And so it's a table that you're sitting around, not to where you just stay to yourself, but it's a table of community that you sit around where you pass things back and forth, where you share things, and you build each other up through all of these things, these struggles, these trials, these blessings that make you you. But it doesn't happen when you just sort of come and sit and soak in what everybody else is offering. The Bible speaks out strongly against that. You have to get involved. And so when our friends and our family members join us, when they discover the blessing, the life, the love, the rest, when they discover all these things that the church has to offer, we don't need to stand in their way, right? We need to invite them. We need to encourage them to be involved, okay? So invite them to show up, invite them to be involved, and third, invite them to be an encouragement. An encouragement. That's what it means to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, as the author says in verse 24, and also in the second part of verse 25, when he straight up says, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The reason we show up, the reason we get involved, the reason we work in we do community in the local church is so that we can be an encouragement to one another. You can show up, right? You can even get involved. You can volunteer to serve in a ministry. But if you don't allow the Spirit of God to encourage the people around you through you, you've really missed the point. The purpose of the church is so that we can encourage each other to bring glory to God through love and good deeds. That's what he says here. If that wasn't the purpose, okay, if it wasn't for the love and good deeds that we're called to do, that we're called to encourage one another toward, we wouldn't have church. I mean, do you realize that? We could just worship God at home, right? Or in the tree stand, right? Or out on the boat, okay? We wouldn't have to gather, but we don't bring glory to God in that way. No, we bring glory to God by sacrificially and humbly considering other people better than ourselves, by putting others first, by encouraging one another, so that we can all get better at love and good works. We gather together and we motivate each other to do awesome things for the glory of God out there. And why do we do that? The author of Hebrews tells us that we do it all the more as we see the day drawing near. Circle that word day in your Bible. What day is that? It's the day of the Lord's return, right? It's that great day when Jesus is going to come and he's going to set everything right. He's going to correct all the brokenness of our world. No one knows when that day is going to come, but one thing is sure, we are definitely closer to it today than we were yesterday. Amen? And that means that your world, your community, your friends and family members have one less day to turn from their sin and turn to Christ. And that means that we have one less day to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, the kind of church that the world sees, and maybe they don't understand us, maybe they even hate us, but the kind of church that they see and they cannot deny that God is with us. That's what we're after. A church that brings glory to God through the way that we encourage one another, through the way that we do community. Are you an encourager? Are you an encouragement to the world around you? Are you an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you willing to break the trend? Are you willing to break the cycle? Will you commit? Will you commit to show up and to be involved and to be an encouragement to those around you? Man, I hope you will, but let me again caution you. That's what church is about, okay? But it's not what life is about. You see, life is about making Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord, okay? It's about living out a relationship with Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will love His church, okay? But you don't know Christ just by going to church. It's really important that I say that because I think a lot of people think, well, because I go to church and because I'm involved in church and because maybe even I try to be an encouragement to those in church, that I must be right with God. But that's not always the case. It's easy to go into church and to dig into church for other reasons. Look, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus today. That's the first step of Christian community. You cannot have real community with those who are in Christ until you have community with Christ. Okay, it doesn't work that way. The vertical relationship has to be there before there's a true horizontal relationship with others. So my question is, do you know God today? Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? If not, you can give your life to Him this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been pretending. Jesus Christ can save you today if you will let Him. That's the beginning of real community. Real community is giving yourself away. And that doesn't come naturally. Apart from Christ, you will never truly give yourself away with the right motivation. To begin to give yourself away means that you have to exchange your life with someone who gave everything away. And that someone, of course, is Jesus. That's what Jesus did. He gave everything away. He gave his life. He gave everything away for you. But not just you. Jesus gave his life for your friends, for your family members, for those in your relational circle, in your relational universe. Won't you invite them to know him? Invite them to community. Invite them to show up. Invite them to get involved. Invite them to be an encouragement. Invite them to give their lives to Jesus. Invite them to church. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes?